tonight, maybe we'll have question and answer. As usual, will you give me some questions? No question? Hi.
Could you explain how if improvement is one of the causes of suffering, how does our practice relate to it? Zazen seems to me to be one of the things that is changing my life to the better.
Mm-hmm. Changing better, there. And there is problem. Do you mean? You have some problem or suffering, and by practice you think you can stop, or you can you will be more free from suffering, or what do you mean?
Well, for instance, in the practice of Oryoki, seems to avoid a lot of bodily stomach suffering. That seems to be why we practice Oryoki.
Practice actually the purpose of practice is to be completely devote ourselves to the something which you do. That is the main point of practice. When you don't, or when you do it carelessly, then your mind is not there. So when your mind is not there, then you are separated by your, use big word, by your surrounding, and you are here, and you are separated by your place you live. If when you are separated by objective world, and there is suffering, But when you are completely devote yourself to what you do, there is no separation. And which exists there is not subjective world or objective world for you. Oryoki, just Oryoki exists. You know. And that Oryoki covers everything, not only you, but also everything will be covered by it or included by it. When this oneness appears, there is no suffering. Do you understand? Suffering is, you know, this is suffering. When there is only one stick, there is no suffering. Do you understand? When this kind of oneness takes place, there is no suffering.
And that the impulse is itself, the impulse, the motivation to oneness itself seems to be a cause of suffering. I misunderstood what you said the other night about the motivation to improve it as being right there. Right there we said that itself is ignorance.
Ignorance. Ignorance means, you know, in other words, concrete. To be caught by concrete idea is ignorance. Here is audio. Here is me, you know. That is ignorance. Actually, there is no separation between Oryoki and you. But I don't know why, but we think there is Oryoki and there is me. And most people think, you know, that is true, but it is not. Let me explain more about this point. Duality. People talk about difference between Western culture and Eastern culture, but I don't think there's nowadays Japanese people are very much Westernized. And our way of thinking and your way of thinking are very much similar. But there is, anyway, which is Western or which is Oriental, I don't know, but there may be two ways of thinking. One is, you know, maybe more dualistic way of thinking, more analogical thinking, way of thinking. Analogy is, you know, it is not analogical, but you know, when you analyze things, when you are not clear about this, you know, when you are not so sure about something, you analyze it psychologically or more scientific way. You analyze it, and after you analyze it, why you suffer in realistic sense. Oh, this is why you suffer. That is analogy, maybe. And you think this is the reality, you know. In reality, this is why we suffer. And you feel as if you solved the problem or question. That is more or less one way of thinking. I don't know if it's Western or Eastern. But there is another, you know, quite different way of solving problem. For instance, there is man and woman. You know. To solve the problem between man and woman, to be get married. If you get married, you don't know which is which man or which is when you get married. Man will be woman, and woman will be man. When you live in one family, you don't know which is which. That is how you solve the problem. But some people don't feel, you know, when you don't know which is husband, which is wife. You don't feel so good. So you start to analyze the family life, which is man and which is woman. If you feel like a man, he is quite happy. And if she feels like a woman, she is quite happy. And there are at least two ways of solving problems. And ignorance, you know, we say, ignorance does not mean, I don't think, sometimes it means ignorance is something, if you don't know about something, that is ignorance. But ignorance, in a deeper sense, it is source of activity, our activity. Why we do something is because of the ignorance. If you don't know exactly, if you know exactly what you are doing, I don't think you will make such a great effort. You know, if you know, you know. It is not possible to save all sentient beings. Maybe, you know, if he is not Buddhist, he will give up. Oh, that is impossible, so maybe better not to do it. from the first place. So it is good not to know things so clearly and to have some to expect something. But actually we are completely involved in ignorance. That is why we make our effort. Things actually, the ignorance is actually the source of the energy in its deeper sense. So, the ignorance, when we understand ignorance as a source of energy, the ignorance is not anymore ignorance. That is Buddha nature. There is no difference between ignorance and Buddha nature. Because when we realize our nature, whether you are Buddhist or not, you will make your best to save all the sensitive beings. So there is no difference. But when you make some mistake, in your everyday life. When you do not know that your origin of or your source of energy is from the ignorance or Buddha nature, you will make some mistake. And you will involved in the idea of good and bad. When you have good and bad, the idea of good and bad, you are somewhat wary of doing something. You are already, became idle. Is this good or bad? If it is good, I will do it. If it is not good, maybe not to do it. And you hope it is something bad, then there will not be no need to do it. You may, before you come to the Sahara, you may ask, what is then? Perhaps sometimes you hope the Sahara is a good place. Sometimes you hope you think the Sahara may not be so good place. It is very hot. So maybe better not to go to the Sahara. When we start to think about good or bad, there is some gap between you and reality, real life. And when you are very much, you know, eager to do something, already your idea of self is involved. You know. When you, you know, really, when what you do is just because of ignorance or Buddha nature, there is no progress. Maybe better, you know, to think because of ignorance, I am doing this. This is maybe a better understanding of life. Than to think because of and Buddha nature, I am doing this. You know, because there is not much danger when you think because of ignorance I am doing this. I think people often say, yeah, this kind of thing is something for a foolish one like me, you know. Clever. Smart one will never do this kind of thing. You may have people say, I don't know how you say it in colloquial English, but you say something like this. That is more, you know, I think better. And when you think I'm doing something wrong, maybe I'm doing something foolish, you know, then there's not much danger in your work. Here again, you know, when we think in this way, ignorance does not mean something bad, you know. Something may be foolish, but not so bad. The Buddha nature is not also include everything, you know. Good and bad is included by Buddha nature. And ignorance also includes Buddha nature. So, when we say ignorance, we don't mean something bad or something good, but something which we cannot escape from. That is ignorance. Because everything is appears because of ignorance. You know. Like Buddha nature. Buddha nature, there's Buddha nature in all beings. So Buddha nature is also something from which we cannot escape from. So, that is a condition when man and woman live in the same house to solve the problem. This is more, you know, Buddhistic way of understanding of life. Do you understand? When I say ignorance, you know, ignorance, sometimes may be compared to anger or greediness. Greedy mind is also ignorance. Anger is also ignorance. But in its more shallow sense, ignorance, maybe, to always to complain something or grumble at something is ignorance, you know. And to be always angry is anger. And to be always greedy of something is greediness. But this is very superficial sense. Sometimes ignorance is as important as Buddha nature. So, Dogen Zen states, practice should be established in delusion or ignorance. Practice should be established in ignorance. Do you understand?
Could you explain further why it may be dangerous to practice from the viewpoint that one is practicing Buddha nature, expressing Buddha nature? But why it may be more safe to practice from the standpoint of ignorance than from the standpoint of Buddha nature?
You know, when you if you practice our way, you know, whatever the understanding, like whatever you do that is, you know, because of Buddha nature, you know, whether our practice is good or bad, this is Buddha's practice, you know, then you cannot, you lose your point to which you work on. That is one. And you will be mixed up. You know, your practice will not be so sincere enough. So even after you attain enlightenment, you know, after you have enlightenment experience or it is you should practice Zazen. After you enlighten, you have enlightenment experience. Even though you attain enlightenment, you know, there is, you know, sign of ignorance. Ignorance is like when it's like maybe like a kerosene lamp. When it is in the flame is in complete combustion, you know, that is enlightenment. When this is smoky, you know, that is ignorance. But the kerosene oil could be smoke, you know, sometimes could be complete flame. So, if possible, you know, if it is always smoking, you don't feel good. Even though you know whatever you do, that is because of kerosene oil, but actually, you still smoke it. kerosene oil is not so good. I thought the same thing will happen to. I thought the same thing will happen to your practice. Sort of practice is not so good. They say, we have Buddha nature, so even though your practice is not so good, that is Buddha's practice. So anyway, you should practice present. But actually, you don't feel so good. So you think, doesn't practice Buddha nature is something so smoky and so drowsy. That kind of misunderstanding will happen. But if you think kerosene oil is something to make smoke, you know, then
if we have no attachment to the reality, if we have no attachment to the reality, we can forget ourselves, forget our own interests, forget our family, and forget everything. By that way, we will see our Buddha nature, so that what we do or what we think will be no ignorance, and all agree with the Buddha nature, and we will no ignorance, no distinction between ignorance or life. That could be an easy way?
Easy? No, I don't think so. To say it's very easy, but that is why, you know, before you start practice, students has this kind of question, you know, ignorance, what is ignorance, and what is Buddha nature? And we want to understand what is ignorance and what is Buddha nature. There are various way of thinking, you know. I realize that my way of thinking sometimes is quite different from our students' way of thinking. So if I say something, they will have big misunderstanding. So if we say, forget all about, if you have no attachment to family or to this world, then we will have, you know, clear mind, by which we can see the world as it is. That is very much so. But when we say, you know, forget all about everything, that is to them, the understanding to forget all about family is not the same as we understand.
But as you know, and as I know, in Japan and in China, I think the first requirement of the monk is to have no attachment to reality, because they live in the temple and try to bring salvation, to bring enlightenment, not for himself, not even for himself, but for all sentient beings.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that is what we have been taught, you know. But I am studying American Buddhism now. As you make various questions, you see, I have to think also.
And in this conjunction, I would like to ask a question. As you know, and I know, when a great nation, a great country, which has their own culture and has their own tradition, like China and Japan. And when we adopted Buddhism, in the case of China, because Buddhism and Taoism is something very similar, so that it is in a very natural way the Chinese people adopted Buddhism. It's in a very natural way, you know. But, alright, but in modern times, in the last 100 or 200, Christianity came to the East, came to the Far East.
Excuse
me? The Catholic Church, even Christian Church, came to China and came to Japan.
Yeah.
And they have been there at least 200 years, you know, at least 200 years, maybe 300 years.
Yeah.
And they make very, very little progress, very, very little progress in China or in Japan.
Yeah.
All right, if we look back to Buddhism, and then the Chinese people adopt it so easily, you know, so willingly, we are willing to adopt Buddhism. Right now, when the Buddhism came to this country, came to the United States, came to America, do you think the time has already been came for the American people to adopt Buddhism? And this question, I know, it might be difficult for you to understand, it might be to be answered by the American people.
I think so. I think already it is time to study Buddhism for American people, I think. What I was trying to say, some difference between, you know, to find out, wear off solving problems. And, you know, what I want to say is, you know, by analogy, I don't think to find our way of solving question by analogy will not work, I said. Because, upon instance, you respect creativity in your culture very much. And on the other hand, you have highly improved science, you know. This is very opposite. The creativity is, you know, is personal effort, but science.
We are going to rule now, what the American people.
And seek for some universality, you know. And I find the Sahara is going very well, you know. I am thinking this point. I start to realize this point. Why the Sahara is developing so fast? It is because of you seek for a universality. When you develop your life in some universal way, you know, there must be some rules. And you observe our rules, maybe more than Japanese or Chinese people do. This is very good, but there is some danger in it, you know. I feel some danger in it. Because if the Sahara is under the complete, you know, control of rules, you know, we will lose the creativity of students. So we seek for, Buddhism seek for we don't seek for, you know, universality so much, or creativity so much, but we seek for more validity, you know, to validity is not universality or is not something personal. If it is personal, it will not have a value. Just personal thing does not have value. Even though an artist, his work is so unique to himself and so creative work, but if people do not buy or do not appreciate, you know, I don't know that it's art in its true sense. If it is very good, real art, it should be creative, and it should not be something which people had seen it before. It must be something very unique and something quite new, which people have never seen it before. Something like that. It's real art, we think. So, when our life is split in two, you know, universal life and individual life, you know. This kind of culture will not exist so long. When the culture is developed, including creativity and universality, then that is true human culture, I think. And Buddhists, we call it middle way, you know, which is not too much universal. If I say so, it is already lose its meaning, true meaning. But I have no words to say. So I have to say too much universal or too much individual. Buddhists say, I don't use this kind of expression. Buddhists say, if true culture should be universal, completely universal, and completely personal, and should not be universal or personal, we back and forth, we use various expressions, various statements on one fact. And whichever statement we use, this statement point out our point exactly. When we have this kind of culture, that is, I think, Buddhist culture, you know, our life is originated by ignorance. Yes, so our life is originated from Buddha nature. It is so. Sometimes our life is originated by ignorance. No, it is not so. Our life is originated from Buddha nature. No, it is not so. I make many bad things. No. Whatever you say, that is true. Because we know what is our practice. This kind of, you know, understanding is beyond our words. And this kind of understanding includes various understanding of life. And there's no, you know, confusion in it. But if you stick to something, that is, you know, what you say, you know, stick to the result of analysis. Or if you stick to not to analyze anything, just to grasp something as it is, just to grasp something as it is not always good, you know. It is like blind man to grasp something, you know. This is not good. To analyze something is not so good, because, you know, you will grasp something dead instead of alive. So our way of thinking is, our way of understanding or grasping things should should not be just universal way or scientific way or artistic way. But Buddhist way.
I understand you right, that you are saying you should not work toward a particular goal, because that's the same as grasping or craving, and you should not worry whether you are working from ignorance or from Buddha nature. We should not worry which way we are going, because we are there already. Is that what you are saying?
Yeah.
Very difficult to abandon the idea of goal, because it is a whole goal-oriented notion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. We should not give up, you know, our goal. That is, we shouldn't, but, you know, we should not be discouraged, even though we cannot have it. So actually, as long as we are making effort, and that is actual goal, that is what we always say. The dear goal cannot be, you know, 10 years after or 11 years after.
Hi. Problem, I have these different verbal problems, the word problem, it seems to come up over and over again. Right now, for myself, for example, if I don't have goals, I lose right effort.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if I see you and your way, and I like it, that's good, Rushi's way is good. I'll follow Rushi's way. And in other words, there's a goal, and it creates energy in me to make an effort.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I look at you and I say, Rushi's way is just any old way, and someone else's way is just as good, then I have no goal and I make no effort.
My way is not some special way.
I know. You say that, but if I were to look at that, if I were to look at your way and not think it was special, then I would have no effort to do Zazen or to be here. And many students may not have had the effort either to do Zazen or be here if they didn't feel that your way was special.
Not special, but you know, I'm making effort. That's all.
how do we deal with this kind of duality? This kind of
to be patient, first of all, and to do it little by little. Try not to have it. Immediate. Same thing. And our way is very, you know, the more you go, the more you find it difficult. That is Buddhism. And that is good. If, you know, our way become more and more easier, you know, it will not help you so much. There are many stories about this point. Did you talk? Have I told you about Imo Zenji? Sorry. Tozan. Tozan was the founder of Soto School. And he was a great teacher, of course. And his disciple, Ungo Doyo. Ungo is the name of the mountain. Doyo was his name, and his good disciple. And perhaps Tozan was practicing Zazen some place like Tasahara in remote mountains. One day, or for many days, or for maybe 1 week or 2 weeks, I don't know, his disciple, Doyo, didn't appear to Zazen. That was all, because Tozan told him to practice Zazen in some other place, And because you have enlightenment experience and you are pretty well, so maybe you might as well practice alone in some other place. So he went to Sampo, three mountains, maybe like horse pasture. he made a small house for himself and practicing Zazen there. But he had no kitchen facilities there, so he had to come to main zendo for a meal. But for several days or more, I don't know how long, maybe 1 week, 2 weeks, he didn't appear in mealtime. So his teacher sent someone to find one, to find out what he was doing. So he himself came to his teacher and said, "I'm quite all right. I'm practicing. I'm fine." And the teacher asked, what do you eat? You don't appear at mealtime. Recently, some celestial being brings me some food for me. So I don't have to come to main zendo. I'm eating something which is given to me. And usually, it means a great progress, to be a friend of celestial beings. Maybe very good. But Tozan was scolded. Tozan scolded his disciples. Your practice, I thought your practice is much better than that. but your practice is still, you know, in the area of celestial being. What do you mean by, do you know what does it mean to be some attachment, you know, of good and bad? Celestial being is good. And to have some food from him or from her is something good, maybe. But for Dozan, it is not so good. There is, you know, his practice is still in area of good and bad. And, you know, he told him, the Dozan told Doyo to stay in main Zendo. Maybe you shouldn't practice that alone. And he burned his small in hat. That is very famous story. That is, you know, how we practice Zazen. There's no limit in our practice. And at last, the teacher accepted him as his successor. And Doyo went to Mount Ungo and established a monastery there. So, you know, there's no limit.